Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you're a fan of the blues, roots music, or Zydeco, you owe a debt to Chris Strakwitz. Beginning in 1960, Strakwitz traveled the country, and over the next four decades, he collected recordings of American musicians. Those recordings, over 400 albums worth, were released through Ahuli Records, the label Chris Strakwitz founded. Here are just a few of the artists he discovered or rediscovered.
Thought her daddy must have been a millionaire, 'cause I can tell by the way she walked.
That was Sonny Boy Williamson, Los Pingüinos del Norte, and Big Mama Thornton. Chris Strakwitz died in May at the age of 91. But in a new coffee table book, we get to see the photographs he took on his travels and read some of his thoughts on the musicians he recorded. It's called Down Home Music, the Stories and Photographs of Chris Strakwitz, and it's a really beautiful book. Joining me now is music journalist Joe Selvin, who wrote it with Chris Strakwitz. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Joel, who was Chris Strakwitz, and where did his deep abiding love for American music come from?
Well, Chris was the greatest folklorist of his generation. I don't know that he would have recognized that description of his work, but it's true. Chris grew up during World War II in Germany. His father was an aristocrat. He had a lovely childhood on a farm. He had pet rabbits. And all this was, of course, interrupted by the war. At the end of the war, Chris was sent to Reno, Nevada, a shy, uncomfortable, awkward 14-year-old German who didn't speak much English, and he hated America. He hated where he was. He felt so alienated. And then he discovered on late-night radio the blues records, and he recognized that those guys felt the same way he did.
Wow.
And so that was the beginning of Chris's love with what he came to call down-home music. And it was a mission that he pursued for the rest of his life with incredible enthusiasm and concentration.
Yeah, I mean, it's so documented through just even the photos that are in this book. But you write in your introduction to the book that he thought of himself not as a record producer, but as a song catcher. I thought that was really beautiful, but I wonder if you can explain what you mean by that.
Record production, just the whole phrase, brings in all kinds of studio technology and sound mix and all that kind of stuff. Chris was a documentarian as a record producer. His records are recorded very flat, very dry. They're there to capture the performance and the music. Some of his records, the sound is so authentic that it's like being in the room with the guy. And he just wouldn't see himself as a producer, you know, that's like too elevated for him. And this, he felt the same way about his photographs. He didn't see himself as a photographer. The photographs were strictly utilitarian. They were for album covers and publicity photos. And as a music guy, he knew what to photograph. He knew how to frame it. He knew what to include in the photo. And those photos, you can hear the music when you look at them.
So I want to get to Chris's photography in a moment, but first let's listen to some music. This is blues musician Lightning Hopkins.
Darling, your love just like a hydrant. You know to turn it off and on. You got love just like a hydrant. Yeah, you know to turn it off and on. Darling, you know when I be looking for you, little girl, you done turned off and gone. It's a shame for you to do poor Lightning that way.
You know, it's good to hear you, Joel, describe his recording style, because Now I listen to something like that in a whole different way. But talk a little bit about Lightning Hopkins and his relationship to Chris Strockwitz and Ahuli Records.
Yeah, Lightning was the flashpoint that started it all. But he was something of a mysterious figure. This blues music in the 50s was very obscure. It was really rooted in it, deep in the culture. You know, you're not going to run across it on jukeboxes in pizza parlors and stuff like that. It was hidden from view. And there were like a dozen guys around the world that were really interested in this blues music and trying to research it. And Chris received a postcard from Mac McCormick, his associate out of Houston, Texas, in 1959 that said he found Lightning Hopkins. And Chris, as soon as school let out, he was a German teacher in public high school. He went down to Texas and went to see Lightning in a club. And Lightning was on stage singing about how it had been raining that night and he had trouble with his car getting to the club. And he winds up the verse by saying, "And here's the night the man from California came to hear poor Lightning play." And so that just was the road to Damascus moment for Chris. And he went home and he came back the next year after school and started recording Ahuli Records.
So Strockwitz took a camera on his travels. Now, you broke down to us how he didn't think he was an expert, but yet he learned to use it really well. I want to talk about a few of the photos in the book. He had big names like the Staple Singers and John Lee Hooker, but he also photographed the little known. He went to places like nursing homes and he traveled all over the country and really the world to bring just such a diverse array of talented but really kind of ordinary folk who maybe would not end up making it big, but yet he saw something in them. Talk about the way in which not he recorded their music, but he photographed them. Is there one that stands out to you?
That picture of the Hodges brothers in their one-room shack with their mother on the porch looking at them while they're strumming their guitars in front of the deck. It's just from another world. Probably the single most famous blues photo Strockwitz took in 1965 of Sonny Boy Williamson playing with his guitarist and drummer behind a radio station in Helena, Arkansas. And until this book, we have never seen the full frame. He always cropped it down to just the band because they were strictly utilitarian to him. He saw no larger artistic value. But we print the full frame in the book, and there's this whole overgrown field and this dilapidated house, and the composition is so exquisite. And that's Chris. I mean, he didn't see these as anything but tools for his trade, but they're way more than that.
I mean, there's also the Rebirth Brass Band from New Orleans, a photo taken in 1984 when they were so young, you know, ahead of them kind of making it much bigger. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band, also so young. I mean, there's just some really precious images in there, like John Lee Hooker at the piano and the look on his face. And I loved the caption. I love that
he's not happy about having his picture taken, is he?
He's not happy. And here's this John Lee Hooker, like, you know, I was struggling for a word to describe it, and the caption says, "Moody."
Yeah.
It's just quite
and that
amazing.
Preservation Hall Jazz Band picture, that's the very beginning of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. That's before it was called the Preservation Hall. That's taken in a patio outside the art gallery where they had their first performances. And the Rebirth Jazz Band, Grease Lounge, isn't it, in Treme, with Grease misspelled on the wall? These things just kill me. They come from a world that we'll never see again.
What was it like to work with Chris on this book?
Well, it was a gift to me. I first met Chris when I was 19 years old, and he kind of took me under his wing. And over the years, I spent as much time with Chris as I could, because every time we went out to hear music or eat tacos or whatever, it was like a postgraduate seminar. So this was a really dear friend and somebody I just super admired. And the opportunity to do this book just immediately started. He called up and wanted to ask for some advice about putting out a book. And I just hijacked the project right on that phone call, because for me, it was just an unparalleled opportunity to spend time with Chris and do some really good, important work. I'm very proud of this book.
You know, just in finishing up, Chris Strockwitz, obviously from this, was so interested in so many forms of music. There's blues, there's jazz, there's gospel, R&B, rock, zydeco, What would you say is Chris Strockwitz's most lasting contribution or contributions to our understanding of American music?
Well, Chris did a systematic and organized investigation into the history of our vernacular music. And he always called it vernacular music, not folk music. I think because folk music sort of has a idiomatic thing, you know, like Joan Baez is a folk singer. But really, folk music in the purest sense of music made by and for folk. And that's what he did. He collected and organized and categorized American folk music on a level that nobody else did. And our Hooley catalog, 400 albums, all recorded by one guy over the course of 40 years.
Incredible.
It's just an unparalleled library of American music, and Chris found it all.
Well, it's a beautiful book, just so engaging, put together by Joe Sullivan, who we're talking with, the co-author, longtime San Francisco Chronicle music writer. And he did that with the late Chris Strockwitz. The book is called Down Home Music. Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we want to leave you with the music of another Ahuli recording. This is Chicago blues guitarist Earl Hooker.